right brain, there's left brain, and there's no brain, because I have no clue what that song is. I've tried three times, I don't get it. But they do, and I know many of you do too. They try to explain it's about cause and community. You know, we're all different, and no matter where we are in our walk with God or what community we're in, we can't get away from the fact that nobody else is like us. And that's what causes community to sometimes be so interesting, so frustrating, and also so fulfilling, because we get to be around other people that aren't like us and that we need in order to have the kind of life that God wants us to have. And so that's what we're going to talk about today in the context of this community series. And let's pray before we go any further. Father, I pray that we would understand the communities we're involved with to a greater degree as a result of all this taking place in this service. That we would understand the potential of being in community with you. We understand what it means to be in community with people who are our friends, people who we're dating, people who we're married to, people who we are in church with, people who we're in the neighborhood with, whoever it is. Help us to understand some of the things that are inherent in community and use community in our time to grow us. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. All right, I am low on coffee. I'm going to get a little thing of coffee here, but while I do that, I need everybody to stand up and get another seat, okay? Everyone, stand up, and you can stay with the people you're with, but I need you to move somewhere else in the auditorium. Yes, and that means those of you in couches and tables, and those of you in couches probably are angry. They were last night. Tough. Get over it. Everyone get up, move, and go find someplace else. Okay, if you found that place, I need you to get up again and move again, okay? I need you to get up again and move again. Stay with the people you're with. I'm not breaking you up, but you need to get up and move again. Yes, again. And maybe you wanted that couch, that table seat, and you can grab it again. This, move again and then have a seat. This is going to be somewhat interesting if we do this at the next service when it's more crowded, because, you know, there's at least a little margin to find different seats. You hope you brought your coffee with you. We don't want you to leave that slobber cup behind for somebody else. We don't want you to do it. All right, Proverbs. Proverbs 29:18. It says this. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The translation I have here says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. This means that there's always been communities that God has worked in and through, and when that community has no vision, no knowledge for its existence, or no cause, it devolves into nothingness. The point of today is every community needs a cause, and if you are a part of a community and it has no clearly articulated and understood cause, it will not be community for very long. Some of you are very frustrated. This little exercise I did, you know, kind of moving around. And that little exercise had a cause. If I told you what the cause was ahead of time, maybe you wouldn't have been as frustrated. I'll tell you what the cause was. The cause was what you just did. You didn't know why you were doing it. You were just going from place to place. There was no specific cause behind it. The cause was to illustrate that when you are with people and you are moving from place to place in life, but you don't have an overriding cause that is driving your movements, there was frustration that sets in. Without understanding of that cause, you were frustrated. But that is exactly what happens in many of the communities that we're operating in. We're working through life and going through life. And for what? For what? To be together? For what? Because I'm lonely? For what? Because what is the reason? And it's actually, there's three things that happens in the midst of community in relationship to cause. There are communities that are without a cause. And when they're without a cause, they go into elimination. Some of you have noticed my goatee up here, have you, huh? Yeah, there's three types of people in this place. Those who can count and those who can't. There's three types of people. There are three types of people. Those who like my goatee, those who don't like my goatee, and those who have a life and haven't even noticed. That's the three kinds of people that we have in our place. Actually, I left it on because it's an illustration of a lesson in community that I had last week. Libby and I and our 18 people who we really have some close community with, we started this tradition last year of taking a vacation together. And so we planned it for after the crazy campaign ended, and we prepaid as much as we could. And we went on a vacation last weekend while I was gone from here. And we learned a lot about community. And this is the reason why I had this. I had this because when I do these trips, we go out and we rent Harley Davidsons. And when I can do that, I can it's like playing Halloween for me. You know, I can put on Harley gear and I can be a completely different person in a completely different state and nobody knows me. And so the goatee is kind of part of playing the role of the bad mamma jamma, you know. And so it's very interesting last year and this year. There's a lot of differences between the 2 years. Last year was like the greatest trip that we ever had. This year was a trip. Actually, this year was. And actually, while Brian Wells was talking last week of conflict, we were having conflict. In fact, I came back and listened to that tape and said, oh man, we should have just kind of dialed it in the web and just listened to that as a community. Because we had some real conflict. That ended up being a good trip, but we had some real conflict. And the reason was around this cause thing. You see, last time we went, we had a guy who mapped out the whole trip for us. He was the leader. And actually, he was so much believed, we started calling him the trip Nazi. Because every time we pulled into a place, he said, okay, let's go, we got to go, we got to go to the next place. And he was always driving us because it was a bike trip. It was very clear. The cause was, it was a bike trip. And he understood how to go and how to have the most of it. Even though not everybody rented bikes, some people rented Jeeps. It was very clear the cause was a bike trip. This year, he didn't go, and we kind of did it by committee. It was no single leader. It was sort of doing it by committee. Yet another reason why God so loved the world, he didn't send a committee. It was just this kind of group think. Well, I think we ought to do this. No, let's go here. And even though someone did a great job mapping out a map for us, every day we'd say, well, do we want to go there today? We want to stay next day here. We want to do there. And there was conflict. And see, the reason there was conflict is we weren't clear on the cause. See, last year we were very clear. The cause was this is a bike trip. If you want to bring your Jeep or something or rent one, that's fine. But this is a bike trip. It will be operated like a bike trip. This year, we weren't clear. Is it a bike trip? Is it a trip out west? Is it just a vacation? Is it a time for us to have deep conversation? What is the cause of the trip? And see, because when I'm on a bike, my mode of operating is entirely different. I want to go from this place to that place in a very circuitous, scenic route. I want to stop as often as I want and get out and stretch my legs and have fun. And it's about the ride. It's about the journey. But when you're in a car, it's about the destination. It's about point A to point B, the shortest distance between two objects. It's about six-lane highways. It's about when I'm driving, nobody in the car goes to pee until I say so. Or you sure brought your screw top Coke bottle. You know, that's what it's about. Probably too much information, but well, like you haven't done that before. No one's, and that's just kind of the moment. So there was this conflict because some of us are going, hey man, it's a bike trip. I want to just relax, take this thing. Other people are going, no, I need to get to the next place. And we weren't very, very clear on the cause. And as a result, there was massive, massive, massive tension. Everything, every group of people does, there must be an underlying cause. Why are we doing what we're doing? Without cause, the community will eliminate. It will go away. Then there's also causes that are unworthy. Those causes that are just not satisfying. Those causes that really won't last. Those causes that are wrong. Those wrong causes. You might have a cause for your community, but it might be the wrong cause. It might not be something that ultimately satisfies us. I think one of the very clear places we see this is for those of us who are in the community of marriage. People who are in the community of marriage, they never had a cause when they got into marriage, or when they got into marriage, they had the wrong cause. Like the cause for us being married is to be happy. That cause doesn't work. In fact, you can be happy a lot more easier places than in marriage. Marriage is not created for us to be happy. That's not what it's there for. I was thinking about this when I was reflecting on a t-shirt saying I ran across the other day. My husband brought me a mood ring the other day, and when I'm in a good mood, it turns green. When I'm in a bad mood, it leaves a red mark on his forehead. We'll talk more about this and about dating in a minute. But if you have, we are going to talk about that, because there's lots to use about the community that we date, the community that we have friends with, the community that we're in marriage with, all that stuff. But when you don't have the right cause for a community, there's confusion. And many people are in relationships right now, whatever those relationships are, and they're confused. Why is this not working? Why is this not working? Because your cause, though unspoken, might have been something that's unrealistic and not satisfying enough. And then there's communities that have a worthy cause that actually brings us into satisfaction. I want to spend a good portion of time looking at one of the classic stories from the life of Christ out of this book. And we don't realize that in this book, it's the Bible, that not only is this the best-selling book of all time, but there are phrases that have become Americana that are in this book that we don't even know trace back to this book. Actually, one thing I'm going to do this summer when I go on my study break is I read through this thing. I'm going to try to catalog all the things that we think are just normal wisdom sayings that actually trace back to this. I'll tell you one of them. One of them is a house divided cannot stand. Abraham Lincoln popularized that speech, popularized that saying. And people still debate how much of an abolitionist Abraham Lincoln was. People still debate that. People still debate, was he more interested in freeing Africans or later to be African Americans? Was he more interested in eliminating slavery? Or was he more interested in preserving the Union? Which of those was he more interested in? And in one speech that he gave, at least for the purpose of that speech, it was very, very clear what he was primarily interested in was preserving the Union, because he felt that the Union split up could not survive. A house divided cannot stand. And he takes those words, he takes those principles from something that Jesus taught, and it's something that happened while Jesus was in the midst of community. It's in the book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 20. I'm just going to read this. We're going to talk about this. Here's what it says. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. And when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "Well, he's possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons." Let me pause there for just a minute. Jesus is doing some stuff. He's helping some people here. And there were some intense things that were happening in the midst of what he was doing in life at this point. Some of these things, his family didn't even understand. The community of his family didn't understand, because there was times they didn't understand his cause. There was also things that the religious elite, they understood, but they didn't like. They understood that he was doing incredible, miraculous things. Nobody could debate the fact that Jesus was doing unbelievable, miraculous things. And one of the things that he was doing that we don't see much of today, at least I don't think I've ever seen it with my own eyes, is the recognition that there is an underworld, there is a dark spiritual world, there is a demonic. And for whatever reason, it was apparently way more visible back when. And Jesus, part of his ministry was he would go to people who were afflicted with the demonic, and he would cast out demons. And nobody could debate that this was happening. They saw it. Nobody could debate it. But what they could debate was where he got that power. And so for the religious elite of that day, they were incredibly threatened that this guy was doing things that they couldn't do. And they couldn't say, "Well, you're not doing that." Instead, what they did is they tried to accuse him of being in alignment with Beelzebub. Beelzebub was an ancient Canaanite deity. Canaanites were kind of the arch religious enemies of the Israelite nation. And Beelzebub meant Lord of the High Places, and the high place where they would have all these pagan sacrifices. And then it got translated in Latin. That's where we get Lord of the Flies, which is where we get that movie that many of us still have nightmares over, the idea of Lord of the Flies. And so what they were saying is this. They said, "Well, you have power, but it's because you have demonic power. It's because you're being empowered by Beelzebub." So here's what Jesus says to that. So Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and he is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can rob his house." What he's saying is, come on, think about this for a minute. If I am possessed by Satan, if I am having my powers from the dark underworld, why would I be doing things that are against the agenda of the dark underworld, which is setting people free? A house divided cannot stand. This doesn't make any sense. Are you saying that my community is about undermining all that God is doing? Are you saying that that is my cause? That's not my cause. If that was my cause, why would I be doing these good things? This is where we get the idea of a house divided cannot stand. And you are who you have community with. We all learned in junior high, you are what you eat. At the same time, you are who you have community with. Who you spend time with, the cause that you attach yourself to, and the people that you run with, that is who you would become. Whatever the cause of that community is, spoken or unspoken, the community that you are a part of is who you will become. I think it's one of the powerful things of when a church operates properly. It's a powerful, powerful thing. Because not only should God be present in and through it and all that is happening in the earth, but God wonderfully and powerfully works in the context of a church community, because when you're a part of something that's healthy, it actually starts rubbing off on you, because who you spend time with is who you are becoming. And Jesus is so offended, they are saying that he is part of a cause that is not who he is. He's so offended, they're telling him that you are a part of the community of the satanic, that he ratchets up the heat. Here's what he says. I tell you the truth, for all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He's guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying he has an evil spirit. And this is one of those very, very, very deep principles. But what he's saying is this. For you to say that I am of Satan, that that's the community that I'm a part of, that's the cause I'm a part of, it shows that your heart is so far gone. Your heart is so hard, there's just no hope for you. Some of us might be going, oh gosh, that's unforgivable. I hope I didn't do that one. You know, it's the only thing in the Bible that's ever said it's unforgivable. In fact, if you're at all remotely concerned that you might have done that, don't worry, you haven't done it. Really, if you're at all remotely concerned, then you haven't done it. Because for you to have done that, your heart would be so hard and so crusty, the last thing you want to do would be sitting in here at all. If you're at all concerned about that, don't worry, you haven't done it. But he is saying something that is very intense and pointed. Don't you dare accuse me of not having community with the Father, but accusing me of having community with Satan. If that's what you really think I'm about, it shows your heart is just gone. It's just gone. It's out there. God has always worked in the midst of communities, and there's always been a cause with it. The very first community in the Bible was Adam and Eve. Actually, the very first person in the Bible was Adam. And we're not designed to be isolationists. Now, there's introverts and there's extroverts in this place. There is, and we get different energy, amounts of energy from spending time with people. But there is no such thing as an isolationist that grows with God. I mean, you could see, what was his name? It was the Unabomber, Ted Kluszewski or something like that. Yeah. That's not his name. What was his name? Huh? Kaczynski? Okay. Well, interesting, if you go take a look at all the serial murders there are, you'll find one common theme. None of them had community. All of these people were isolated people. All these people refused to be around other people. We don't function well when we don't have community with somebody else. And so God creates Adam. Nah, not good. He wants to actually bring in and be a part of a community. Eve comes in and they have a cause as a part of their community. Their cause is two things. Number one, to take care of the earth. They're the very first environmentalists. Take care of the earth. Nurture the earth. Second thing is to multiply and fill the earth. So their cause was gardening and sexing. What a great cause. Especially if you eliminate the gardening part. That's the kind of cause I could be about, you know. That is their cause. And every community from there on out through all the scriptures, every single one has a very clearly identified cause. And the place that their community goes wrong is when they adopt a cause that's different from God's. When they adopt a cause and say, see that tree over there? I think I want to eat some of that tree. That's what I want to do. When they do what God does not want them to be about, that is the moment their community devolves. It's the moment confusion happens because they adopt the wrong cause for their community. Every community needs a cause. Every community needs a cause. And that's what I want to spend all of our time here talking about today. Three things. Cause in my community comes from three things. Number one, cause in our community comes from agreement. I've been watching a little bit of this World War II and the people celebrating Beaches of Normandy, all that kind of stuff, you know. You ever notice that Vietnam vets, of all the wars, they don't get together and, like, enjoy each other's company after the war? You know, I think I have a reason as to why that is. Everybody who I've ever talked to who's gone to Vietnam says the same thing. They said, so weird. I go down this room, I get sworn in, I go to boot camp. Next thing I know, I'm sitting in a rice paddy getting shot at. And nobody ever told me why. Nobody ever gave me the cause. They had absolutely zero cause for what they're about, and therefore, there's no sense of celebration. Because they didn't know why they were together. They didn't know what the cause was. Until when? Until MIA, missing in action. Missing in action comes, oh, it's a cause. And then you start to see Vietnam vets kind of banding together because there was never agreement. There was never agreement on what the cause was. There was never agreement on what it was supposed to be about. I have this book here, a couple books that remind me of all this stuff. One of these is my yearbook. This is my 1982, my junior yearbook. Fascinating. what is in here. I'm going to read this for you in just a minute. But you know what's interesting about people who were in high school, who I would date and all that kind of stuff? You always thought that, like, man, maybe we'll hook up someday and, like, we'll get married. You ever think that about something you did? You might talk about your husband about that. But we, or your boyfriend, whoever that is. And you know, you always think like, oh gosh, you know, this person I'm going to marry or have a great time with. And I got married and I really had no clue what I was doing when I got married. In fact, I learned something after I was married that I wish someone would have told me before. So those of us who are not married, let me tell you what someone should have told me 18 years ago, 17 years ago. So when you get married, before you get married, you got to do three things. Master, mission, mate. I said, Matt, I never heard of that. Well, Matt, what the person said was, first identify who your master is. Who is your master? What rules you? Who is your master? Second, identify what does your master want your mission to be in life? What's your cause? What's your cause in life? And then finally, you're equipped to choose a mate if being married for you is a good thing. Master, mission, mate. Now, you know how I did it? I did it by this way. I noticed that all my friends were getting married. And I said, I bet the next person I date is a person I'm going to get married to. And what do you know? That's what happened. I didn't think about master, mission, mate, or anything like that. We had no cause when we got married. There was no cause. I said to Liv, I had one of those kind of, I don't want to ask this question, but I decided to ask it a few years ago. I said, honey, am I your soulmate? She said, no. I said, good, because you're not mine either. You know, you hear about these things of soulmates, of, you know, just get together and flowers sprout out of our hair and things just never have, everything is beautiful. And I've actually met people who I think it's like that. And so you start to go, you know, what is that about? Libby and I realized that one of the reasons we never had a cause for our marriage. The cause for our marriage was, well, let's be happy. That's not a worthy cause. That's the wrong cause to be married. And actually, that discussion propelled us on a whole different line of thinking about marriage. So we actually came up with a cause statement. You know, our cause is to help each other grow to become more like Christ. Because we can do that uniquely in the context of marriage. We can help each other grow to become like Christ. And as a result of that, over the last few years, being about that cause, our marital community has come to be in an awesome, awesome, unbelievable place. Just unbelievable. Why are you dating the people you're dating? You have an agreed upon purpose why you're dating. You have agreed upon cause. Why are you in the business community that you're in? Why are you in the neighborhood you're in and the little fellowship groups or the church that you're in or the cycling team you're in? What is there a cause and has everybody agreed to it? See, because with Jesus here, even his family at this point wasn't agreed with the cause. Let's continue and see what happens. In the midst of this whole thing in verse 31, then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone to call to him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. Who are my mother and brothers? He asked. Now this is deep here. Understand what's happening here. He is hanging out, he is doing serious stuff, and his mother and brothers think, hey, Jesus should be hanging out with me. Where is Jesus? He should be with me. And they expect him to drop everything. They expect him to just stop everything he's doing, get up, and go be with his family. And so Jesus uses a teachable moment and said, oh man, you know, who's my brothers and brothers? Who are those people? You know who it is? It's people who do God's will. And my family right now, they're about themselves. They're not about other people. And I'm not going to go see them right now. This is the second thing that happens whenever you have a cause. Everyone has to be agreed upon it. And secondly, it must be beyond yourself. Every month must be agreed upon it. And secondly, it must be beyond yourself. Simply about you will not be a cause that propels you to deep community. It must be bigger than you. It must be beyond you. And sometimes when it's bigger beyond you, it means hard choices have to be made. We had a cause over the last several weeks. We had a crazy campaign. And part of the cause meant that we had to say no to things that were really nice. For the first time in years, we didn't have a Mother's Day service. We didn't have a Memorial Day service. That's not necessarily a good thing. It wasn't a fun thing for any of us. But when you know exactly what the cause is for a given set of time, you make very hard choices. And when people understand that, they're aligned to it, and it can bring the sweetness of community. Every community has to be very agreed upon what its causes are, and that cause has to be beyond themselves, beyond what they would personally like. This book right here, this yearbook, what's stunning to me is I live my life for these people. This community right here, I live my life for. I chose my drinking habits based on these people's approval. I chose my sense of humor based on what these people would like. I chose all of my discretionary time, how to spend it in such a way so that I can be in relationship with these people. This community was everything to me. And I was leaping through this. I haven't looked at this in years and years. Actually, this little charge that went through our house fire several years ago. All these pages stuck together. But I was reading through this just yesterday. And it was like going through memory lane because I don't even know who some of these people are. All these people were signed in my book. I'm like, who are you? Who? I mean, here, let me give you an example. Here's this one. What can I say? You're one of the nicest, most sweetest guys I know. Well, at least they've got some brains. I'm so glad we are such close friends. We've been for quite a while, and I hope we always will be. I love all the crazy things we've done together. Don't remember what those are. Thanks for all the good times. I just know there are many, many more to come. I don't think we ever had a single one that was after this sign. You were a terrific friend, and I know I can always count on you. I hope you feel the same. I know you will always be there and listen to me. Well, Bri, I want you to know you're a very special person, and no one will ever take the place of you. I hope someone's taken the place of me, because I have no idea what place I had in this person's life. Actually, I think this was the person who in junior high I went with. Remember that, how, will you go with me, you know, and you go with someone, and what do you do? What is your cause? I don't know. You see each other at lunch from across the room or something like that, you know. And I just look at this thing, and it's like, I don't talk with a single person. There's one person who emails me every once in a while in this book. Why is that? Why are these relationships that were the center of my life, why are these relationships that define my morality, why are these relationships the things that I would ignore my parents over, and yet they are nothing? Why is that? Because we did not have a cause that went beyond ourselves. Our cause was to have fun on the weekends. Our cause was to make fun of teachers. Our cause was to have fun in athletics, whatever it was. There was no cause that took us beyond ourselves. And whatever community you're in, if your cause is only about you, your community will not last. Your community will have no depth. It can't happen. That's not the way it works. Calvin Coolidge said this. He said, no enterprise can exist for itself alone. It ministers to some great need. It performs some great service, not for itself, but for others. Or failing therein, it ceases to be profitable and fails to exist. Jesus' family at this point, they were not aligned with the cause of who Jesus was. They were not aligned with that cause. At that moment, they did not have community. And some of the causes that we have are not going to bring us long-lasting satisfaction. Is there anything wrong with being a part of an entrepreneurial startup thing that's going to bring you a lot of jack? Is there anything wrong with that? No, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But if you want to have community in that, there's got to be something bigger and beyond yourself other than making money. Is there anything wrong with a marriage being happy? No, nothing wrong with that at all. It's just that you got to have a cause in your marriage if you are married beyond and above that, or else you will never be happy. Is there anything wrong if you have kids, to parent your kids in such a way that you have serenity so that you never get a phone call at 2 a.m. in the morning, they've just been picked up on DUI, and to parent your kids so that you never have that happen? Is there anything wrong with not having kids that don't do that? No, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that that is a cause to keep serenity in your life. That's not about going beyond you in some sort of development. Is there anything wrong with having a fully orbed dating life where you date interesting people and have fun? Is there anything wrong with that? No, but if you want that community life to bring you ultimate satisfaction, there must be some cause above and beyond what you're doing. No community can survive without a cause. It cannot happen. And I apologize for those of us who've come to Crossroads. And if we've ever given you the impression that all you have to do is to show up and you get community, if we've ever communicated that in some unhealthy or poor way, I'm sorry. We never intended to communicate that. Many of us believe that community is a commodity. I come someplace and I get it. I go do that and I get it. Or, okay, I'm just going to get a cause statement and then I'm going to have community. No, that's not the way it works. You can't just go to a neighborhood club and have community. You can't just come to church and have community. You just can't go be a part of an A team and have community. You can't just go be a part of a serving team and have community. You can't just go get married and have community. You can't just have a dating life and have community. It's not a commodity. It's not. It's something that's much more deeply, spiritually satisfying than that. And expecting to be able to go and have something given to you is to cheapen community. It's like expecting an elephant to be fed by throwing granola at its thing. You know, throw as much granola as you want at an elephant, it will not be satisfied. It will not. There's got to be something deeper, more spiritually significant than that. And one of the reasons why Some of us have never had deep, satisfying community as we've never gone through the hard times and thought, I have to be about a cause and go beyond myself and articulate with all the people I'm with what this thing is about. And finally, there's a commitment. Commitment. We have to be actually committed to that cause. It has to be something that just completely gets us to our core. I think Jesus had a fantastic community with his family. I think he had a great community with his family, and it came actually from this scenario. Let me read that again. Verse 34. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him, and he said, here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. What he does right here is he says the community is with. He says, do you want to have communion with me? It means that you have to be about the cause of honoring God in all you do. Now, whoever wants to do God's will, that's a person who has a cause that I can connect with and I can have community with them. And his family at this specific moment, they weren't a part of that community because their cause was about having Jesus drop everything he was doing and come and meet their needs selfishly. But you know what I also know from looking at the life of Christ after that? His family relationships grew and they were healthy because this was a level of pain for them that caused them to go to a new place in their community. Jesus is dying on the cross and his family is there and he's taking care of his mom. He looks at his best friend, John, who he had community with, say, hey, John, there's your mom. Take care of her. They cycle back and have incredible community with him. Why? Because his family was committed to the relationship. And there must be this base level of commitment. Why would I do the very risky move and ask Libby if I was her soulmate when I sense what she would say? I mean, that's almost a deal breaker there. You know, why? Because I was able to ask that question from a foundation of trust that no matter what, she wasn't going anywhere and I wasn't going anywhere. And as a result of the conversations that came out of that thing, in a few years of incredibly hard, back-breaking work, if I were to go ask that today, you know, are we soulmates? I think I'd get a different answer. Our relationship is unbelievably sweet as a result of the commitment to the cause and going beyond ourselves and doing hard work in the midst of community. Sometimes with people in our staff community, those who I'm closest with, Brian Wells, Cindy Weininger, Todd Henry, we've had a lot of conflict over the years. Most recently, one of the ones I was in conflict with, we had a very difficult conversation, and I just said, look, we have come too far and worked too hard to just have this go away right now. We can never let that happen because there's this base seed of commitment. And why would you be committed to your community, even in the midst of conflict? Because we realize that we can't do this thing called life alone. We can't. It's impossible. Libby and I learned to scuba dive. Few years ago. Actually, this was part of our cause because we wanted to start learning and growing together in different things and taking on different skills. So we said, let's learn to scuba dive. So we went and did some scuba diving thing. And the first year we did it, and if you ever scuba dive, there's this thing that goes around you. It's called a BCD, buoyancy control device. And you put air in it or take air out of it so that when you're down underneath the water, you can be at neutral buoyancy. So that you're not wasting energy to keep yourself down to the bottom or wasting energy to get yourself, you know, swim up or fight that. It's just kind of, you're neutral. So if you're lying in the water, you just kind of are there neutral. And my BCD, for whatever reason, wasn't operating properly. I couldn't get it right. So I was constantly fighting going up or down. And I realized something really strange. If I reached over and I grabbed onto her, whatever was going on with her BCD, it perfectly equaled me out. And as I was attached to her, I was perfectly neutrally buoyant. And so the whole dive, I just stayed attached to her, either on swimming on top of her with my hands grabbing onto her tank, or beside her holding hands and everything is fine. And that's very similar to how we all are in our community, whatever community that we're in. Your BCD does not operate properly. Your spirit does not operate properly. It doesn't. Some of us, we don't have nearly enough air inside of us. And some of us, we've got way too much hot air inside of us. Alone, our BCD, our spirit does not operate properly because we cannot do this thing called life on alone. We need to be in community. That's why God designed communities. And that's why throughout the entire scripture, every person who's used significantly is going to point to a community that they're a part of. I want to invite the band to come up and I want to lead us through a little exercise where I want us to take a look at the impact we are having on our community. Because some of us might be thinking, you know, my community is really whacked. My community's really got problems. And I don't want us to focus on the community at large right now. I want us to focus on us. What is it about us that the communities that we're in and moving through might not be all they can be? Because maybe there's something inside of us that that is flat. And so let's just sit where we are right now. They're going to lead us through the song. If you want to sing the song, if you want to think, if you want to pray, let's reflect and let's just use the words of the song to God as a prayer for Him to open the eyes of our heart. Our trip last week ended up being a really great thing for our community. At the end of it turned out really great. One of the reasons was that it kind of brought to all of us some of our faults. We were talking about our faults and kind of redirect ourselves on what the cause was of our community. Did we even have a cause anymore? Did we need to even stay together anymore? We had to talk about that stuff, and it brings us to a great place. And so what I'd like everyone in here to do is I would like you this week to identify the most important community to you. It might be a relationship, it might be a group you're with, whatever it is. I'd like you to identify the most important community, and I'd like you to instigate a conversation along the lines of, what is our cause? What's the cause? See if you can articulate what the cause is and see if you can agree upon it. See if that cause is something that's beyond you. And see if that's something that you can all be committed to. Because when that happens, things just become very, very clear for us. You know, we have a cause in here on the weekend. Our cause here on the weekend is to be a place for those of our friends who have not yet understood who Christ is or are still on that seeking path to have a place to explore and seek. And all of us grow here in the weekend services. All of us do. I do when Brian Wells speaks and such. But that's the primary cause. And the next level, everyone's also clear on that cause. For those of us who want to go the next level in our spiritual journey, the next level in understanding Christ, the next level in understanding the Bible. And we've got a great run of Next Level that's coming up. Summer Nights of Next Level. It starts this Wednesday. Wherever you are in your journey, you can come this Wednesday. It's going to be phenomenal. Don't miss that with Michael Card. And one other thing, kind of a housekeeping thing. Next week, we went through this big cause thing over the crazy campaign, and we've got some information as far as scope of project and how things are going to shake out. We're going to spend about 10 minutes next week doing that, just because I know so many of us have sacrificed and are dying to know what's going to happen in the midst of our sacrifices. And we did like 41 personal contact meetings going into the campaign, and we can't do that every time to update people. So we're going to spend a little time in the midst of this thing next week, about 10 minutes, just giving you an update on the scope and everything. Okay, let me pray for us. God, thank you for the communities in this place. The friendship communities, the marital communities, the family communities, the church communities, the neighborhood communities, the business communities. Whatever community is the most important to us right now, pray that you would guide the conversations that are going to happen this week so we can come to that place of sweetness that we need for our spirits to function properly. Thank you. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Okay, we'll see you. See you Wednesday or next weekend.